Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Core. This is Core. We talk about video games, and we love them, so that's why we talk about them. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. Today is July 2nd, 2020. And we're bringing it to you, yo. I got a thing I want to mention real quick, a couple of quick things. These are very, very selfish of me, but I'm going to do them anyway. Okay, so here's what's going on. You may be familiar with someone I work with a lot named Tom Merritt. He hosts a tech show every day, one of the most respected voices in tech. He and I, for 10 years, have done a show called Current Geek, and we are relaunching that show and revamping it to be something really special. I won't give you too many details here, but if you want to find out about it and what you can do to support the Kickstarter that will launch this new season, head over to support.currentgeek.com. That's support.currentgeek.com and help us reach our goals. Video is self-explanatory. If you want to watch it now, pause the show and go check it out. Also, I've been doing a daily video game news video wrap-up. And it's mostly because people like bloopers. That's why people like it, I think. Anyway, frogpantsplays.com is where you can get that, or the YouTube channel. It all links there. So go check that out. It's called Frog Pants Plays Daily. And I get up and put my dumb face on the screen and talk about the two or three biggest stories of the day and break them down for you in about 10 minutes or less. So it's a short, easy-to-consume little show that launched last week since we did the last version of Core. So I wanted you guys to know about it. Go check it out, frogpantsplays.com. All right. I should give you guys a chance to pimp anything you got going on extra. You guys have anything going on before we start?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I do. I played through all of The Last of Us Part 2, which we will be talking about later, and you can certainly listen to my thoughts on this show. If you want to actually watch me play through it, I streamed 100% of it. So you can go back and watch the highlights of that, the VODs of it, at twitch.tv/Revendawn, R-E-V-E-N-D-A-W-N, and... whole damn games up there. If you had fun with that, you can also watch me do the same thing with Resident Evil 2. Unlike Scott, it's 100% of the game, not just
50%. I knew that was coming just because
I
heard.
Hang on, I'll get my phone here.
All I had to hear was Resident, and I knew where we were going with it.
Yep. Hello, I'd like to report a murder, please.
It's a chalk outline of a 6'4" podcaster. Not sure what happened. Anyway, well, that's great. And also later in the show, you'll tell us if you think that game ended the way you wanted it to or not. I'm very curious.
No spoilers, but I will tell you.
Controversial, I guess, for a lot of people, how that game ended. Big shock. Huge, giant story game ended controversially. Weird. All right, let's do this. All right, there's some things going around. For example, there is a rumor. This has got to, and this has, we have to have all thoughts, have thoughts on this. Video games have long been a kind of inflation resistant industry. And so when a game is generally or on average $39.99 during a certain era, let's call it the 16-bit Genesis Super Nintendo era, that kind of sticks, and it sticks for a long time. Prices don't fluctuate certainly within the generation. And sometimes what will happen is a new generation will come along and they'll say, hey, what if this was when we raised prices? And it's usually by about $10. That's typically what you see. So $49.99 has been with us for a really long time. And that was kind of PlayStation 2 era all the way up through 360, PS3 era. And right around the time we jumped over to the current generation of consoles, PS4 and Xbox One, everything went up to $59. For the most part,
I thought it's been $59.99 for 15 years. I thought that was a 360 thing.
Oh man, is it? Because my memory is $49 during the 360, but maybe I don't remember.
No, I think it's been $50. I think it's been like $60 since.
And we're talking AAA titles here, obviously. So
yeah,
you know, your Call of Duties,
not discount.
And your,
obviously, things fluctuate. Hold on,
right? And there may have been. I just remember, for whatever reason, during the 360 days, I remember thinking, "Oh, we're not going to go up on game prices too much, are we?" Okay, cool.
Yeah. Since Activision went with $59.99 for Call of Duty 2 15 years ago.
Okay, so Call of Duty 2. That was a launch title on 360. You're right. Yep. Okay, so. That became the new norm. Thanks a lot, Activision. But again, it wasn't so bad because the industry is really resistant to those prices going up. Players kind of don't want to pay more. The rumors are swirling now that we are about to enter a new phase, and that phase is going to cost you $69.99.
Nice.
$70. Another $10. Does that seem like too much?
Those numbers are not nice.
No, they don't seem nice. Well, I mean, they're... Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I would say that I think 15 years is a long time for a product that continues to have to be pushing the cutting edge technologically, have huge development staff, have huge overhead, to not see any price increase.
Yeah.
But here's the catch. The reason we've had 15 years of $59.99 is because they have found other ways to artificially inflate that. DLC, the prominence of that, collector's editions. Here's the one that comes with a statue.
Right.
You know, oh, you need to buy a season pass. We're going to charge you $15-$20 extra dollars for something like that. They said, okay, we'll keep the baseline price roughly the same for these past 15 years. But they've thrown on a ton of bonuses. I don't know if anybody's tried looking at the Steam store right now, but with the sale, but there's a lot of things where I'm like, oh man, that's a great price for that. I'll buy that because I'll look at it and I'll say it's $10, but you open it and it's like, well, if you want the version that's actually the current version of the game with everything we've put out for it, it's about $50. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's about the same price. So they've had this method of keeping it like hidden and on the back end. And that's beneficial in some ways for people that just want to get in and play a vanilla experience and move on. But it's not great if you're somebody who wants the complete package every single time you buy a video game. I would say the only part about this price change that concerns me is I have a feeling none of that's going away, but the base price is going to go up.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's true. They're not going to suddenly stop doing DLC or content like that. We'll probably see a vast drop because we already are seeing this mostly out of pressure from players and from consumers. But there's already a pretty big drop in like microtransaction stuff. Like that stuff's not sticking the way it used to, or they'd hoped, I guess. And they're going out of their way even. Like that new Squadrons game from EA goes out of its way to say, and you'll unlock all of these things simply by playing it. And I'm like, yeah, EA, I see what you're doing there. So yeah, I think you're probably right. And now, so in theory, you're going to pay $90 for a game and its battle pass or whatever the 20 extra bucks is going to get you, DLC, whatever. That's a lot. It's a lot for a video game. And up in Canada, it's even higher, right, Bo? Because right now, isn't like it's like $80 now in the conversion.
It can be up as high as like Doom Eternal $79.99.
Yeah, geez.
Canadian. So if that goes up, we're looking at $100.
How's that land?
Good
on
news
you?
Is all this. Well, you know what? All this stuff goes on sale anyways. Yeah. Like it's still a negotiation. So they increase the price, and I'm like, great. I guess I don't play games on lunch. I have a backlog of tons of games to play. So unless I'm really, really, really excited about a game like Doom Eternal or Cyberpunk, mm-hmm. I'm not buying it on launch. So they can ask for all the money they want. I don't care because it's going on sale. And it'll be new when I decide to buy it. It'll be as exciting as if it launched on that day. And I think more and more people are, I mean, definitely a lot of people are wise to that fact, and they're also fatigued from buying DLC for everything.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so increasing this might not have, maybe it'll have the effect for, I don't want to say casuals, but the type of consumers that will buy a box product or, you know, for kids as a gift and not really into the gaming space. So that might help increase their revenue from those folk who go on Christmas to buy their kid, you know, Mario for $100 because it's Mario and nothing else to want.
Man, $100, imagine. And that's the other thing. Nintendo, they don't budge much. So as if somebody's a fan of Nintendo and they're thinking that whatever is after the Switch is going to be cheaper, I promise you it won't be. Like you're paying, you pay a lot more money for games on the Switch than you might on other platforms if they existed there. And some games do, the third-party stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, $69.99, that might be the new thing. Another $10 increase. John's right. It's not a crazy thing to think would happen after 15 years of being kind of stuck at 59, but it's all about what the market will bear, and we'll see if players have a problem with this or not. I think players may start balking at the idea of you're going to charge me 70 plus this other stuff you held back as DLC or as not battle pass. What's the term you used, John?
Season pass.
Yeah, if you're holding on to stuff and saying, well, this will be our season pass, maybe they'll get away with that less. They may have to include more in their games instead of holding it back as a strategy to make more money on the other end. But then again, you could argue, the argument could be made that 70 is still not quite good enough.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's an unpopular one because people don't want to spend money.
Right.
But 15 years at the same price, I think you could make the argument that even bumping it up 10 with all the things that are still there in place going forward is still reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, we may not think it's reasonable, and like Bo said, the market will determine that, but it's not that steep of a price increase. I mean, I've seen almost that same price increase in that same amount of time on my fast food, you know, so it's not crazy.
I wonder if we'll also see something happen in the indie space where this common $15 launch price for a lot of indie titles suddenly starts to become more often 20. I mean, they're already more flexible. You see indie titles kind of all over the map, but I wonder if we'll see those go up another 5 to 10 as a general rule or not. I don't know.
Increasing the price. Now they also have a sales tax. Increasing the price, if you're risk adverse, you might be less prone to nervousness about increasing the price of your games because everyone's having, PlayStation has it too, the Game Pass.
Yeah.
In fact, let me tell this alert out now to everybody. I'm not suggesting you use Internet Explorer Edge, the new browser from Microsoft. No, I'm not earning rewards points by advertising for it right now. However, if you use, there's a reward program on Internet Edge, which if you do number searches and complete the daily quests, it's very video gamey, you can get a free month of Xbox Ultimate Game Pass mm-hmm. on your PC. Mm-hmm. So just use the browser, do your points, and you have like a free catalog of, why would you ever spend $100 or any money on any games? This is a strategy that could work for you if you want gaming in your life and don't want to spend a cent.
Do you have to use Bing? Is that part of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. You know, you can still use two browsers. Like I use Drive and I use a lot of Google stuff that requires it. But if I'm going to do one of my weird internet searches for something strange, I'll go do it on Bing and earn some points.
You know what? I have heard that Bing is a good place to search if you're looking for weird stuff. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Like, and I've heard Bing, when people speak generously about their service on their shows also, you know, offers support and generous support and reward points for it. So
wow,
if anyone happens to be listening, you might want to give Bing a heads up that, you know, we like reward points over here.
Yeah.
Or at least I do.
Bing's really into Bing has got a, let's put it this way. They were criticized by, can't remember what it was. It was maybe the U.S. government, but somebody was going after Bing because their image search is extremely porn friendly. Like way over the
weird,
over the top.
Right?
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. Hmm. I don't know about that one, but yeah.
I mean, my, yeah, you know, Google, they all the browsers at some level are, but, or all the search engines, but in particular, I guess Bing was really serving up the goods for those who were looking.
I mean, Google made a real effort to try and limit that.
yeah.
I mean, it used to be a game that we would play in high school where it would be how many pages in till you see porn.
Yeah.
If you do a Google image search with Safe Search off. Now that game isn't that fun because they actually do try to limit that. You can still do it, obviously, but
yeah,
they try. They've put forth some effort
in the pre-show we're talking about John, and by the way, you should be a patron of the show because the pre-show stuff is really good. Almost 30 minute bonus show today, no more, I'm sorry, 31 minutes, and part of it was about John getting hit with a beef stick in a gas station. If you searched for beef stick on Google, you'd probably get a bunch of, you know, Slim Jims and other stuff. You do a beef stick search on Bing, can't guarantee what you'll get. But you might get points for it, is what I'm saying. So go for it.
You'll definitely get points.
Anyway.
Also, I guess just real quick, for clarity's sake, because I saw it in the chat room, this story about the price increase comes from Business Insider. And the thing that's promoting it is the idea that NBA 2K21 on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X is currently listed to cost $70, whereas the previous generation ones will be 60.
Might so get some.
That is what has sparked all of this.
Might get some dust up over that from fans because they're already mad that that game was like super laden with microtransactions last year. And I'm not really I don't follow that franchise a ton, but I know enough about it to know that it's always been considered like the great basketball sim every year. Like that's the one you go with. It's basically stopped EA from making basketball games to compete with it. And, this last year, everybody was like uber pissed because everything had microtransactions on it, even though it was a full priced premium game. Anyway, so we'll see. Maybe that won't make them mad. I don't know. Who knows what they're doing this year with that thing? All right. Crucible. Remember that? It was like a hot 5 minutes and it was out and then it was not. It's been delisted for a while. After 2 months, it's basically back in beta form, they say. So they're going to test it. They've got people who have spent any money in it at all. It's a free-to-play game, but if you spent like money on a, you know, skin pack or something, they are giving you first and early access to their continued beta. They're trying to obviously, you know, curate dedicated fans so they can figure out what's going on with that game. But this is that Amazon published game. Their second overall. Their first was that weird. What was the first game?
Was it, there was a soccer game. Is this the soccer MOBA?
No. Did they
had a ball, but it was a MOBA with 3-on-3? Is that what it is, Crucible?
Oh, did Bob just freak out on you? Did you just hear that?
Yeah, I didn't understand most of that.
Sorry, I loaded a web page, apparently, which I can't do well.
Oh, you loaded a web page. Weird. This was something else. They did.
So one of the games they had a ball and the 3-on-3 MOBA style game, and you score points with the ball. But they had abilities, just like heroes or whatever.
Oh, what was that? Oh no, that's the Ubisoft one with the rollerblade guys, right? Or no?
No, not rollerblades. It's an Amazon. I'm pretty sure it's an Amazon game. All right, let me look it up. But I can't talk while I look it up. Right.
Yeah, this was Amazon Games' first major PC game on Steam.
Yeah.
There
was something else. Oh, a car game, the one with the Grand Tour thing. That's what it was.
So Amazon Games has two games listed here on their site, which is Crucible and New World.
Yeah, New World's the MMO they're working on, and they did that racing game.
Pac-Man Live Studio. So Crucible is the most...
Yeah, it's pretty much the only one that anyone knows about. Yeah. The MMO's been in...
Isn't that strategy game you're obsessed with, Scott?
Which one?
The New World?
New World? No, that would be Old World, John. Old World.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Weird. It's just that those titles are so extremely interchangeable and both in use that I just got a little thrown off by it.
I admit it's not great. The game is, though. The game is. Sorry. Yes, Bo.
I don't think I heard of Crucible before today.
Well, we've talked about it on the show. Well, I played it briefly, and I didn't say very good things about it, so it's easily very forgettable. But it's okay. Yeah. I downloaded it. It was free. It's kind of third-person Overwatch meets MOBA sort of shooter. It kind of did the fundamentals fine. Like, it felt okay shooting and stuff like that, but it lacked a lot of polish. It just didn't leave me with a really great impression. I walked away from it going, all right, that's all right. And in like 2003, this would have been the greatest game ever released. But now I'm like, I don't know, there's a lot of other stuff I could play. I don't think I want to play.
I think that's the issue is they're chasing trends. I feel like companies like Amazon, they go, oh, we're going to be a video game studio. We got to make something. What's popular? And they look at what's popular, and then it takes a while to make a game, and then they make something that's just iterative, feels dated the moment it gets out. Nobody's into that thing anymore. Like, the days of being able to just chase what are popular trends in gaming and have that be a successful model, I just don't think is feasible anymore.
You just have to be faster, I think. If you're going to do that, I agree with you, but if you're going to do it at all, you got to be like Apex Legends and get into that Fortnite space as fast as you can, and then you've got a successful, you know, second or third option out there. But then again, there's no guarantees. Like, who's playing? I say this knowing that plenty of people are playing it, especially in Asia, but you never hear about PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. No one talks about that. We're done talking about it, you know, because why? Because it got overshadowed. So when you have two or three major players in that space chasing it later, like, I heard Ubisoft's going to announce it, their thing, and I love Ubisoft. Don't get me wrong. This isn't me bagging on the company. I like their games. But they're going to announce a Battle Royale. I'm like, really? Now you're going to announce one? I don't think I care about another Battle Royale game.
Well, so, you do. We're going to get to it, but not just.
Oh,
yet.
Yeah. Just not this kind. Yeah.
this show is literally going to make a liar of you, Scott, but
you're not wrong.
We'll get to what it takes to get you interested.
I'm actually all in on the Battle Royale concept applied to other things that aren't shooters. And that includes, I would like turn-based ones. I would like stuff that deals with other genres. Well, and we'll talk about one of them, although I'm a little bummed about part of that announcement. We'll get to it. We got to get to it. But anyway, Crucible, it's a thing. It's now not a thing, sort of.
My private prediction.
Go.
It will never be a thing. Yeah. It'll be a thing no one cares about anyways. Yeah. If you're making a big news announcement of a game and then you're making a big news announcement that's going away, looking at you, Anthem, it's not going to be a thing.
Yeah. You had your shot. You had your shot.
I think Anthem's return is more likely than the return of Crucible.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, because it's already published in full, but still it's... Yeah. I mean, when I say comeback, I mean have the effect on gaming culture or audience that it was looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you're right.
It's unfortunate.
I think you're right. It's a bummer, but I don't know. A lot of people want to say, hey, didn't that come out the same week as Valorant came out of beta? Yeah, but it never had a chance. I don't even like Valorant that much, but Valorant had a lot of momentum behind it and is coming from Riot, a place that already has hundreds of millions of dedicated players that are interested in what they're putting out. Valorant was going to be a success whether they nailed it or not. And by all accounts, for what it is and why people like it, they did nail it. Crucible was like, hey, Amazon made a game. You know, that place where you buy your replacement cat litter and sometimes beef jerky. I keep going back to the beef jerky. I apologize.
Mm-hmm. You can tell companies don't understand that they don't have an audience like some companies do. Like a Blizzard audience or a Riot audience is not the kind of audience that Ubisoft has. They sell a lot of games and people are fans of the company, but they don't have an audience like that are willing to move mountains to come fly somewhere to look their stuff up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's exactly. Very small. Exactly.
You can still make money, be very popular, have an audience, just not that kind of audience. And you have to be honest. So when you start breaking into spaces but don't have the audience for it, then everyone goes, what are you doing? And then no one comes over. They don't trust it. So that happened with Blizzard and MOBA. Everyone's like, what? Yeah. You know, like at the end of the day, the audience didn't come and they didn't believe Blizzard could make a balanced game that was, and it doesn't matter if it wasn't true. It's what they believed in en masse.
Yeah. Cydian makes a point in the chat too, that Valorant isn't really tearing up the charts either. Like we're already at a saturation point for competitive shooters.
I mean, am I the only one that thinks it looks crappy? Like, I mean, it doesn't look fun at all.
It looks like it looks like a Counter-Strike mod. It looks like someone took Counter-Strike, Source Engine 2, and said, hey, what if we added some goofy, colorful abilities to this, but basically otherwise it's Counter-Strike. And I'm not even saying that's a bad combo, but that's what it looks like to me. So I'm immediately like, I don't think I want to play that.
But they have a big enough audience that they could go low for a while and then launch big with an esports. Like, they know what they're doing with their audience. It's just like Blizzard knew what it's doing with Overwatch. You know, it was a strong hit. And they never made a shooter first-person game from Blizzard. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Blizzard has an audience that will stick with them through the thick and thin.
Yeah.
And not all companies have that length, even though it doesn't look like all the vitriol online. It's companies have different audiences and that affects their product.
This is what Amazon should have done. They should have done what Amazon does best, which is buy a company who's already doing this successfully with your billions of trillions of dollars, and then just let it just fund the already successful thing. Twitch is a good example of this. Audible's a good example of this.
Basically.
Yeah, Tencent does that all the time, but just swoop in and go, we're buying you. You keep making the cool thing. You already have the loyal audience. What doesn't work for me is Amazon Game Studios and their logos, the dumb smile that comes on the boxes. I like Amazon for the packages I get, and I don't care about their video games. And so they got to really sell me that way. Otherwise, what are we even doing? So anyway, Crucible, good luck to you. Sounds like it's an uphill battle. All right, no Last of Us Part 2 story DLC. I talked about this this week on Frogpants Plays a little bit, but there is a multiplayer component coming. And John, I have a question for you about this because...
Sure.
My take is there'll be a Last of Us PS5 edition that will be up-resed, better everything. It'll, you know, same thing that went from the PS3 version of the first game to the PS4 version of the first game. Everything looked better, played better, smoother, better frame rates, all this stuff. That will happen, and that was a foregone conclusion that was going to happen. But then that also gives them the opportunity to say, oh, and now, excuse me, a multiplayer mode is now part of it. That way they can sell it for their $69.99 or whatever the new price is. That's my hot take. What do you think they're doing there with that?
I mean, and also if you want to know, here's an early spoiler for my review for Last of Us Part 2. If I end up getting one of the new consoles and they do put a remastered edition of that game out on it, I will pay $70 for it. Day one.
Wow.
No problem.
Wow.
Without a moment's hesitation. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, they set up a world that's, so they had a very like faction centric story. They always kind of have, and they had a multiplayer that by all accounts in the original Last of Us was very popular to play. I never really got into it. It wasn't really my thing, but it was a cool idea. I did try it. And there were some cool concepts there, concepts of having like a camp of survivors and like a pool and you grow it and expand it. Like there were some really neat ideas there. So multiplayer could be cool. I mean, I still stand by what I say. I feel like I say it every week on the show now, but it's fine. I'm not looking for a game to try hard in. So competitive multiplayer isn't really speaking to me at the moment. But I will say this about Last of Us Part 2. It is hands down the best playing game Naughty Dog has ever made. And as a result, I would not mind more to do in that game that was less story focused and more just get in and play it, because I think it's a phenomenal stealth game. I think it's a pretty decent shooting game. I think there's mechanics in there that are a lot of fun. Like they could announce DLC that would be combat arenas and I would be excited for it because I'm right now playing through the game a second time, not even to try to get context of story or anything like that. That's there. But I just want to go through the scenarios, the combat scenarios again, and play it a different way. So I'm very excited about whatever they want to put out. Ironically, maybe the one exception is multiplayer, but I know that that has an audience already.
I'll bet that comes to players of the PS4 game for $10, and it will just be included with your Last of Us Part 2 PS5 edition. And... does this confirm that John will have a PlayStation 5?
No.
Oh.
It absolutely does not confirm that.
Well, you're not going to play it anywhere else. So if they they do this and you're like day one, $80, you're gonna have to
If I had the PS5.
Oh, okay. So caveat.
If I don't have the system, then yes, I would want it, but I wouldn't be able to buy it.
Real quick, I kind of think PlayStations should still work mathematically. Like if you have a PlayStation 4 and a PlayStation 1, you should be able to combine them and take a 5.
You should take the 1 and the 4 and now there's a 5.
Yeah, there should be like a jack specifically for that, and you just hook it together and you have the equivalent of a 5. I wish they would have thought of this before the naming convention.
I'm holding this up because Monica in the chat has never seen my giant Tabasco bottle and I just wanted to show it to her. There it is.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big Tabasco bottle.
You blow it up. It's a inflatable one. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's not like a glass one or anything, but
if you didn't blow it up, it wouldn't be big.
It'd be
flaccid on the ground.
That's right. But you get these from the Tabasco people in where my wife used to live out near Avery Island in Louisiana, and that's where we got it. Anyway, that's a pretty fun little side note. Okay, where were we? All right, Last of Us, there's that. Hey, Microsoft shows off Xbox Series X games the week of July 20th, so a couple of weeks. I think they're going to show the little guy too, the little shorty version, which has been rumored for a while. The Series S is the rumor they would call it. And this will probably be a little different than what the PlayStation 5 two models are, one with a drive and one without a drive, optical drive, I should say. Or I guess digital edition, they're calling it. In the Microsoft case, it looks like it's also going to be very digitally focused, but also there's going to be some lower specs. Like the CPU is the same, but the GPU is not the same.
It's confirmed there is a smaller version of Xbox.
It's not confirmed. It's all but confirmed, and probably on the 20th we'll hear this.
Okay, so
there'll be a
tinfoil hat hearing that.
Oh, wait.
Sorry, I'll let you finish.
No. I want to play this. I'll do this. Okay, let's hear it.
It's a Switch competitor. small version that you could panheld and take it into your bed with you to play before sleep, and has cloud game so you can cloud game while you're handhelding. The sentence has lost me, but you know, you're out there with your handheld and you got the cloud gaming, and it doesn't need big specs because it's zapping it in over the cellular network. You're playing Witcher 3. Phil Spencer, call me.
Yeah, let him know, and we'll hook you up. I'm more inclined to think that it will just sort of compete with the PlayStation Digital Edition, and that will be its point, and that it'll be less expensive, smaller. I don't like that it will be less powered, as are the rumors. We don't know this for sure, but the rumors are that it will be less RAM or less speedy RAM. Like I said, a slower GPU, same CPU. I don't know what else. I read some other stuff, but all of those things.
It won't run on water, but the big one will, because you've got power.
That's right. See, no blast processing in the little one. Yeah. But if that's the case, then it better be a lot cheaper, because I think that's a weird way to split your base on a performance standpoint. So I don't know how I feel about it, but we won't really know until the 20th. But we'll see some games too. Probably Halo Infinite will finally pull out its wiener and say, check this out. Right?
You guys, real theme with this week's show.
I mean, I really want to know what they're going to do there. Oh, we got a returning listener, by the way, in the chat. Hold on. Let's just call him out real quick. Strong Twos TV hasn't been here in a while.
Strong Stout TV.
Strong Stout TV says, hasn't been here in a while. Is this still a hero show? And the answer is no. About 2 years ago, we changed. But we're happy to have you here. So thank you for being here and coming back. And enjoy the show. We hope you do. Okay.
It was a good attempt on the name, Scott.
Strong's 2 TV. Toot.
Don't tell him that. It wasn't good. He needs to know the truth.
Strong Stout TV. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good for me to face my failings. That's fine. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. Strong Stew TV. It's not quite the same as doing, you know, like Penn Island. Have you ever been to PennIsland.com? PennIsland.com.
Yeah. I've heard the
Because if you read PennIsland.com, it says penisland.com. Yeah. That's what it says.
You know, we didn't even need to type it in to get there, but everybody takes their own journey.
Yeah, I don't know why I felt like I had to type it in. Also, the site looks super skeevy. Don't go there.
Okay.
Recommend not doing that. Okay, let's get to this battle royale thing that John was hinting about before. So I'm in a weird place on battle royales. I'm not interested in playing any of them right now, with one exception. There's this stupid mobile game called Butter Royale. And it's what you think. It's a bunch of food fighting, but it's a battle royale with like start with 48 players or whatever it is, and you slowly whittle it down till you're the winner. And it's actually pretty good. And the games are super fast, so I feel like I'm not investing a ton of time in it. Butter Royale is pretty good.
Gosh, okay? Dang it, Scott.
It's pretty good.
It's the pretty name good. Is, you know, it's growing on me. At first I hated it, but now that I hear you describe what it is, I'm like, oh, they're kind of mocking it. Way,
yeah, so. And there's like a little chef guy running around, and the gun you pick up is like it squirts like cake icing out of it, and another gun fires off pickles or whatever. It's that kind of stuff. So it's all food related, and it's called
is it Japanese.
No, it's actually an Apple Arcade exclusive. You only get it on the Apple Arcade service. And there's always games going, always people in there. I've won a bunch of games. It's fun. It's a fun dumb little game. You can use a controller even. It's pretty good. It's not bad. You can actually play with a mouse and keyboard on a Mac, too, which is nuts. Anyway, but for the most part, though, outside of that dumb example, I can't find the motivation.
I'm watching video and top down, isometric, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a thing that splashed on the screen. It says butter incoming. Yeah. With an extra, yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But it's butter. Oh.
See, I can explain because you know how in battle royales, it's either smoke or gas or a force field that's coming in slowly and creating the circle smaller and smaller. In this case, it's just huge amounts of butter are coming in to kill
you.
I
like that it's butter because they never explain, like, there's no lore about what this light is. It makes no sense. So your suspension of disbelief, as soon as you see it, is gone. You're like, I'm seeing a video game thing. You know, like they're like, it's an energy field. Like that explains, like that's sufficient for disbelief.
Right.
So the fact that it's butter, I'm immediately like, holy crap, that's liquid butter. It's probably hot and it's going to suck if it touches you because it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Just run! And I immediately intuit the badness of the butter.
Yeah, really huge waves, big amounts of butter. And if you get hit by the butter, you get not only are you stuck in it and you start to die, but you kind of slow down a little. And it's like breathing in viscous, melting butter. It's like terrible. So,
this is a huge contribution to the battle royale genre. I hope Epic is taking notes.
I think it's fun.
I know we have some listeners over there. You better send that feedback up through the feedback chain, the way the game development works.
Yeah.
Butter.
Fire that up the ladder.
I'm sure that's going to be the next Fortnite update. They're like, you know what? We haven't marketed to butter.
Dude, they're doing shark taxis. So why not? You know what that game's doing right now? It's all islands and flooded, and people are riding shark taxis around and getting ready to watch. What are they going to want? Freaking Christopher Nolan's Inception's going to premiere on there for some reason.
Yeah, and Aquaman is there.
Oh, great!
They got Aquaman.
Great,
This game sounds like it's built by ADHD people for ADHD people. I'm like, it's not enough that I'm just playing Battle Royale. There's Inception. I'm going to watch that. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to do this.
Like, oh, wait. There's Travis Scott is doing a concert over there on the island. Oh, no. Who cares if I get shot? Apparently people are loving that stuff, but I don't know, man. It drives me crazy.
I don't know how long ago it was, but on this very show, I predicted that we were several years away before Fortnite wasn't even a shooter anymore, and it was just a community. And I don't think we're far from it.
I think we're closer to that your prediction than we think. I really do. And for a lot of kids in particular, I have a couple of nephews, a couple of nieces who play this game incessantly. It's their Twitter. It's their Facebook. It's their social network. That's where they hang out and chat. They don't have this other stuff.
Roblox, man.
Yeah.
I know more about Roblox than I ever wanted to know.
No kidding. So anyway, shark taxis and Inception.
Is it Roblox or is it Roblox?
It's Roblox.
I thought it's Roblox, right? Roblox?
I always read it at Roblox, like it's two Rob and Lock.
People keep telling me I should try that.
It's a thing. You know what? I will say this. Like, the kids I watch play it.
Yeah.
they don't use it for anything worthwhile.
Right.
It's a waste of time. It just makes me angry when they play it.
These kids are so stupid. Why are they so smart?
But my friend's kid, my best friend's kid, he got into it, he played it, and he used it to, all of a sudden, he wanted to learn how to make games himself, yeah. And then he started making worlds in it, and then he led that into, he wanted to do recordings and put them on YouTube, and then that led to him wanting to do streaming, and his dad encouraged him but never taught him any of it, so he's all self-taught. He went, looked up, put in the work, put in the time, and that kid's a real self-motivated guy. So, you know, I say more power to him for doing it. I think that's cool. Just need to get the others, you kids around here, to do something useful in it besides just driving their car into walls and making me come out and watch it for the 100th time.
Yeah, I don't, that it's, but see, there is a when my son was little, and when I say little, probably between 6 and 10, he loved video games, but he didn't play the video game. It didn't matter what it was. So let's say it's Super Mario 64 or something, right. or Super Mario Sunshine would have been kind of hit that range. Yeah, he'd have been 4 when that was out. And he would just go run off cliffs. There's no objectives. It was like, can this boulder kill me? Can I hang here and then fall into a thing? Like, there's a certain age range where that is video games. And I kind of think it's a good idea if somebody fills that void, because otherwise they're just doing it in regular video games. If they're playing a shooter, they're not trying to get to the thing. They're trying to see how far back they can go. They're trying to see if this wall is, or this door goes anywhere. Like, they're not really to win.
They play weird games as a result. Like, that's what I've learned. Because, like, my girlfriend's son, the games he likes are just strange. Like, he likes to play dirt, but he only wants to be in the sandbox mode, and he just wants to crash the car.
Yeah.
And he plays Farming Simulator, but all he really likes to do is to drive the various vehicles onto the train tracks and then pilot the train and run into all the vehicles. Yeah. Like, or go to people's houses and just take all their things and then go, look at all the stuff I took from the guy down the road.
Yeah.
Like, the things he's into in those games are very, very weird, have nothing to do with objectives, but he's having a great time. And,
yep.
You know, who's to say that that's wrong?
No, besides, nobody.
I will say.
Besides that. You, yeah, and me. It used to drive me crazy when he would do this. But I think I understand it. And sandbox gaming has its place. There's a reason Minecraft appeals so much to, and like when Nick turned 9, or, yeah, he would have been 9 when Minecraft came out, he was so into it. Like,
yeah.
Couldn't stop playing it. And there's a reason. It lets them mess with that part of their brain. So, why did this come up?
I forgot. We're talking about Roblox.
Oh, yeah. Roblox, right? And there's another one coming out soon that's like Minecrafty, but also adventure-y that everyone
and
tells
this related to. I don't even know what.
What's that called?
We got there. We were talking about battle royales. We were talking about butter.
Butter. Butter's great is the point. Oh, okay, because I was getting to this point, which is this thing John brought up earlier, which is maybe there's a battle royale coming out that I'd be interested in, but I'm still going to try this, but they may have lost me after I watched the trailer. And actually, I'll put this trailer up in silence so the chat room can watch it while we're talking about it. Gotta get it
the Worms on. Rumble game? Is that what you mean?
So it's this new Worms game. I'm a gigantic Worms fan. I've owned every single Worms game ever made. And that is a truth. Mm-hmm. Well, unless there's one on the Xbox One, I don't own it there. But I used to buy them all. 2D stuff. Armageddon was my favorite. Played it on PCs. I bought it on the Game Boy Advance. All the handheld versions. I have a couple of them I play now. Armageddon. Now I forget what the newer one is. It's like Armageddon. Anyway, all amazing. I love it. And why do I love it? Because they're turn-based tactical strategy games. And I like those in general. And they're goofy, and there's also mayhem, and it's just a fun thing. Multiplayer is really fun. Single player is fun. It's just a fun thing. Destructible environments. The 2D ones were always the best. But I've played them all. And Team 17 is coming out with a new one. And this new one is Worms Rumble. And it has two modes. Well, there may be more, but the only two modes they've talked about are single player mode, deathmatch mode and battle royale mode. That sounds great. A turn-based giant battle royale mode sounds like my jam. Guess what, though?
It's real.
It's real time, yeah. And it's them jumping and shooting, and it's... I mean, there may be fun to that. We all like Duck Game, right? Sounds like Duck Game to me.
This is
it
Duck
looks
Game.
Like Duck Game, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm watching the trailer. It's Duck Game.
Yeah. This is Duck Game, essentially.
I'm okay with that. It's like Smash and Duck Game. It looks a bit like Smash Brothers too.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. I didn't really think of it that way, but yes, especially the levels, and they kind of have a little 2.5D kind of vibe happening with how it looks like it plays and stuff. Too early to say, but if this was a turn-based proper Worms game, I would be all into this, because having a Battle Royale style version of that game start with 50 people and end with one sounds amazing. Yeah. I would play the shit out of that. This maybe not, because I have enough in my life of jump around and shoot stuff in real time and then start over and play again, which is just too close to the Battle Royale I'm trying to avoid right now. So I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I was totally in until I watched the trailer. And then I went, oh, maybe I'm half in. I'm halfway in.
That game, I don't know if it's turn-based. Isn't it like Astronauts or... there's a Knots game on Steam that is a side-scrolling MOBA. It's been around for a while. I just can't remember what it's called. It's like
Astronauts. Something Knots. Awesome Knots.
Awesome Knots, that's the one.
That's it.
Yeah.
Awesome Knots 2, actually.
And it was actually pretty fun, but it's just, you know, it never is a priority game, so it never gets played, basically.
Yeah. This is the truth that you speak. Anyway, we'll talk more about that as it comes out. And finally, Cyberpunk 2077, the bad news dropped this week. No wall running. I don't care.
I don't care either. Yeah. I wasn't like, man, Cyberpunk 2077, I'm in, but only if I can run on walls. So yeah. I said when we talked about the delay, make it the best game possible. If wall running is the one thing preventing that from happening and it's causing bugs and causing problems, pull it out. I want a good game. I don't care if wall running's in it or not.
Yeah.
Just give me a good game.
That game is more about story, RPG, character building, world building, all of those things matter to me the most. Me being able to traverse around in a super action-y wall running way is not that of much of a priority for me. But Bo, I thought I'd ask you, since you're, and hopefully your sound card doesn't freak out here, because this is going to be a good one. If you're a big Cyberpunk fan, pen and paper level, you couldn't be more excited about this game. Obviously this is going to be a $80 Canadian you're going to spend immediately. Does this bother you to hear that there's, you can't wall run? Is there, I guess what I'm saying is, if you went back and played the RPG, is there something in the pen and paper that says wall running is an important part of this, and if there's no wall running, then forget it? Or is it just stupid?
It is an important part of the game. Like, you know, you're able to do a lot that the computer game, I can see that it would probably be very daunting to add it to the computer game.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, games of the imagination allow for a lot of things, and wall running, flying, turning invisible, all these things are possible in your future tech. So yeah, it's a miss, but we'll cut them some slack and they can put it in the next one. We give them all of our money.
All right. Fair enough.
Another thing to think about is Deus Ex, really good game. And Adam Jensen, certainly a character who would be able to climb a wall or two and among other things, and it didn't diminish my enjoyment of Deus Ex, so it's not necessary to have it in the game. But the whole thing about Cyberpunk is that you do shitty things to get money and you take those creds to upgrade yourself, and the loop continues. And, you know, scaling a wall for an assassination is definitely something you should be able to do.
Well, you still be able to scale walls. Their only thing is this whole running thing, where you imagine like Titanfall 2 style, where you can run ninja style on a wall.
You can still climb up any wall surface.
I mean, they haven't said. I assume so. I assume there's some scalability, but I guess I don't know. I don't know if you can or not.
I don't know. I don't want to judge it. I don't want to judge a product before it comes out. So,
yeah, we'll see.
It might seem like, wow, we can't do this. There are super tall, like Judge Dredd skyscrapers, right, in this future city. So, Judge Dredd should have brought climbing boots too, for that matter. But
should put Judge Dredd in this game DLC. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're going to put Keanu Reeves in there, you may as well put Judge Dredd in there. All right.
It's not that big of a deal. We'll live.
Yeah, we'll survive. All right. Now this. Whoops, this. Video games we played this week. I played Mr. Driller. Yeah, that's right. I picked up on the Switch a copy of Mr. Driller Drill Town, is it called? It's okay, so it's basically the GameCube Japanese game localized for here with some tweaks and upgrades, and then they give it a full name like Mr. Driller : It's time to drill in Drill Town or something like that.
Get drilled.
Yeah. Of all the like non-Tetris puzzle games that have ever existed out there, like you could look at, oh, I don't know, Dr. Mario and Puyo Puyo or freaking Puzzle Fighter, any of those, right? Like anything that competed with the idea of Tetris or tried to do another puzzle game like Tetris, Mr. Driller was my favorite by far. And I can play that for hours and hours and hours. And so that's why I got it. The story's dumb. The characters are really lame. It's anime as hell. And none of the spoken dialogue is... They didn't do any English translation. It's all still Japanese. It just has English subtitles on everything. That's all fine and good because I don't care. All I really care about is the gameplay, and I love the way that game plays. So drilling down, matching colors, doing stuff. If you played Mr. Driller, you know it's rad. I don't have to explain it to you. If you've never played it, now's your chance. It's on the Switch for $29. It's a little high, but I paid it.
Price for Mr. Driller.
I also continue to scratch my 4X itch in between updates of Old World, the greatest named game of the year. With bouts of Endless Space 2, I've gained just a new appreciation of that game, and they've been doing like crazy cool DLC and updates. Today there was just a patch to like update some of the graphics and some of the stuff in the game that's they've, you know, been in there since 2018 or 2017, whenever it came out. And I really like it. If you never played Endless Space 2, it's a great 4X space game, and I love it. So I've been playing that here and there. And Desperados 3, still doing my playthrough of that. I've had very little time this week to do the streams, but I plan on streaming that entire experience. Right now I'm in a rainy, wet place that is just killing me. I cannot seem to get past this one place. So hopefully with fresh eyes I'll be able to do it. But Desperados 3 still top 10 games I've played this year. I really like it a lot. John, okay, now to the big moment. You finished Last of Us Part 2.
I did.
Played the whole thing. Did it satisfy you from beginning to end? How was the ending? How was the overall experience? Give it to us.
That game is amazing. The game is very good. It's not a game for everybody. It is a game that intentionally plays on emotions at times. You know, odds are if you heard something about that game, assuming it was true, there's a lot of misinformation out there, but if you heard something about that game and it made you feel a certain way to hear that news, and it made you mad, it made you unhappy, guess what? The game probably wants you to feel that way. It's an emotionally manipulative game. It wants you to feel things throughout, and I felt things throughout. And I had a really good time with the gameplay all the way up until the end. There's maybe only one section in the entire game that I didn't care for. And it was just a little too much of dealing with the infected all in a row that culminated in a big boss fight that I did not enjoy. But the checkpoints were generous. I was able to get through it eventually. It's maybe the only stumbling block in the entire thing. And that game, I kept thinking it was going to end. There was a point where I said, okay, well, this is it. We're going to wrap it up tonight. And I had somebody in the chat room say, oh, you got another 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh, really? That's crazy.
I thought the game was done. I thought we were watching the end cutscene. And nope, 2 more hours of gameplay left after that because they tell their story. And it's not going to land for everybody. I think there's going to be a lot of people who just don't care for it. And I think that's fine. But it did for me. I had a great time through the whole thing. I really enjoyed the journey and the characters. It's a game that I've been thinking a lot about. And it just doesn't happen very often where you beat a game and you go, I'm going to think about this game for a while. And it's going to live with me.
Let me ask you this. Well, you know, John, you've watched me do it, so I know you know this, but I get lost a lot in the game, in games with lots of sort of, got to go here, got to go there. How do I get there? I don't know. You got to find the key. You got to open the thing. And I just tend to get turned around and lost easy. Am I screwed here? Is this going to be a bad time for me? No.
Won't be an issue for you because the game, if you are taking too long to get to the next objective, will give you a prompt that says press L3 for a hint, and it will put a waypoint exactly where you need to go.
Okay, good. I want
that. More often than not, in fact, it's rarely ever lost. More often than not, what would happen is I'd get annoyed about the hint request because I want to scavenge everything. Like I'm going around, I'm opening every drawer, I'm looking in everything, and then it comes up and goes, "You need a hint?" I go, "No, I'm just trying to loot stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, leave me alone. I'm fine. I just need more materials." But the game does some cool things. Again, I don't want to do any spoilers, but the game knows you're going to find your play style in the first third of the game. Mm-hmm. And they find ways, whether that's through enemy design or other means, to force you to change that up. And I think that throws a lot of people. I think a lot of people all of a sudden go, "Well, no, I had my rhythm. I had the thing I liked." And then all of a sudden you're playing a completely different way. I found that very rewarding. Because it all of a sudden, like, I couldn't just be sneaky. Like, I played the first probably third of this game like Solid Snake. And I played probably the middle third of this game like John Rambo. And I played the last third of this game probably like a mix of the two. Like, it was a really neat experience as a result of that, because the challenges they throw at you, what they give you to use within the context of those challenges, it challenges you in different ways. And I know we talked about this last week, but I can't stress again, if you're interested in the story, and if you're just saying, like, "I don't know if I want to play the game, but I am interested in the story," I would say get it. It's a game that has the most generous level of customization for how the game plays and how you engage with it of any game I've ever seen. You can toggle so many things off and on, and how this works and how much materials are in the world and, you know, how difficult. It's more than just a difficulty slider. You can literally adjust, you know, how likely are enemies to see you, you know, and you can say, "Hey, you know what? My reaction time isn't great, but I want to play this game like a stealth game." You can give yourself more time before people are alerted to your presence, and you get to play it like a stealth game if you want that way.
How many dogs? So, how many dogs do I have to kill?
I think I killed 6 dogs, something like that. There's a lot of dogs. I will say this.
I don't like killing dogs.
You will kill at least a dog in this game.
Okay.
You will kill between 1 and 6 dogs. Might have been more than 6 dogs. I don't like it, but what they add to the combat puzzle is good. Like, I have to talk about it mechanically because I think about killing dogs and I just get sad.
Yeah.
But the thing that dogs add is when you're playing against humans, humans only go off of what they see. So hiding from them and surprising them is very easy because
they're humans.
Throw a bottle and distract them, or they see you. And like, those are the only two ways they catch you. They introduce dogs as a way of, if the dog gets your scent, you now can't hide as easily. That dog's going to follow your scent. You have to find a way to break that from you, or the dog will lead them right to you.
This is just,
so it adds a cool mechanic. You just don't want to kill a dog.
This is the same as, it works. It's funny. You went through this, but in Desperados 3, exact same deal. The dogs are the same exact mechanic, and I try not to kill them, but sometimes, dude, I just got to do it because they're not going to get off my scent. They smell me coming a mile away, and they stay on me, and they find me in the bushes. It's the worst.
It's heartbreaking. Like, I didn't know what was worse. So the first time I encountered a dog, I killed the dog and felt bad about it.
Yeah.
The second time, I killed the guy leading the dog, and then the dog was sad, and then I had to kill the dog anyway. And then I was like extra bad about it because the dog was freaking sad about the owner. The owner fell over and the dog cried about it. And I was like, frick, and now I got to kill this stupid dog.
Yeah.
That game too is very manipulative about its murder. Like, you're going to kill people. There's no pacifist run to this game. Mm. You're a murderer in this world, like, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But they do things that try to, there are going to be people that read this as bad, and there are going to be people that read this as good. And I don't think either take is wrong, but if you shoot somebody, you might hear someone go, "Oh God, Alice." And they'll give that character a name. and go running, and they humanize it.
Yeah.
And no other game has ever tried to do that, at least that I've played. And it was a very unique experience. It's not a great thing. Like, it makes you feel bad. And when you're streaming, you have to make a joke about it to make yourself feel better, because otherwise you're like, I'm just depressed on the stream the whole time. But it does things with its violence like that, that, again, I think is going to be controversial. It's not going to be good for everybody, but I appreciated what it did.
Is that the controversial thing everyone's been talking about?
Oh, no, there's a lot of controversial things in this game.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
The game is full of controversy. Yeah.
I mean, humanizing the targets is great.
Yeah,
I will say this, though, about the controversy. When I was streaming it twice, I had somebody come in, once on the first day that I was streaming it and once on the last day that I was streaming it, and try to post spoilers in the chat.
Nice.
And here's the funny thing about that. They came in and they thought they were giving me a summary of the game. And first of all, they were wrong. What they posted, some of it was true, not all of it, and it was not the entire scope of the game.
Right.
Context is everything, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end, they tried to do it again. It was a different person, but somebody tried to do it again and say, this game is just, and they laid out what it was. And I was sitting there and I went, we're literally past what you just said. That's not all this game is. Mm. So I think there's a lot of people out there that saw a couple cutscenes that leaked, which is unfortunate that they leaked, because I think context is important. And they go out and they try to ruin it for everybody because it made them feel bad. And they don't even have the full information. Yeah. They're not even acting with it.
Yeah.
I don't really care about spoilers. I don't know if Scott seems likely to play it. I probably would get to it for years. So,
I'm going
to
definitely play it. I think I'm going to play. I mean, I played the first one and hated the gameplay, but everything people tell me about this gameplay sounds like an improvement over the last game.
For sure.
Yeah. And being able to customize that experience is huge for me, to be able to sort of toggle on and off things that I like or don't like. Because I am interested in the story, but I also don't want the moment-to-moment gameplay to feel tired and awful. So that is enough for me to say, yes, I'm going to play this. The biggest question is, will I play it before a PlayStation 5 edition of this game, or will I play it now? And I don't know. Because I know that's coming. That's coming for sure. There's no way that isn't happening, and probably soon after the release of that thing. So part of me is like, you know what? Wait until early 2021 and play this thing, you know, on a new console. But part of me is like, ooh, it sounds really good. I should just play it.
It's gorgeous too. In the same way that the original Last of Us was, everything feels, I mean, if you're in a coffee shop, everything looks like it belongs in a coffee shop. You know, if you're in a vet, everything looks like it belongs in a vet. Like, you feel like you're going through a world in a way that just other games don't do. And there's a fidelity to the acting and the look and the feel of that game that you just don't get anywhere else. Like, I think I'm going to have to take a break from games that are trying to pass as realistic with their graphics and look and all of that, because it's just going to read hollow for a while to me. Mm. Like, this game was realistic in a way. And I mean, it's still video game realistic, but it was realistic in a way that other games, it's just miles beyond it.
Yeah,
and that includes anything I've played on PC.
That seems to be unanimous, that part, no matter how people feel about the game. The aesthetics, the production value, everything about it is like top grade. It always blows my mind that this is the company that made freaking Crash Bandicoot games, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I realize it's a different time. They were small studio, blah, blah, blah. They got the heft and money of Sony now. Like, there's a reason why they can make a game this big and this broad. But to go from Crash Bandicoot to the next big thing you saw from them was the groundbreaking, my brain just went dead. What's his name?
Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake Uncharted games. Yes. Yeah. The Uncharted games was just amazing. And now this is just feels like the next step. I don't know. It's great to see that, because they just were, you know, it was Crash Bandicoot and that weird 3DO fighting game that no one remembers.
And Jack and Daxter.
Oh, and Jack and Daxter.
About Jack and Daxter.
Yeah, those are good. Those are good. Those could, you know what? That's a series they could return to if they wanted to. I feel like they're past all that. They're going to tell these stories now. That's what they do now.
Yeah.
They'll let somebody else take the license and do something, but they don't care. Anyway, well, that's great to hear. I got to play it. Spyro Reignited Trilogy. speaking of the games from yesteryear, this is actually a really good. I have the same trilogy and I played a bit of it. It's a really good remake of those. What did you what do you think of those?
So I've only played a little bit of the first one, and boy, what a reminder to how different games were back then. Like, they've made it look modern and beautiful, and it's a good looking game, but like, it starts with like a 1 minute long cutscene that's just like, we think this orc's ugly. And he's like, what? I'm not ugly. And then a bunch of dragons turn into crystals and they're like, great, you're Spyro, play. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the hell is going on in this game? What's the story?
Yeah.
And I just start running around and I'm setting things on fire. I don't know why. And then I bump into a crystal dragon and he's like, thanks for freeing me, Spyro. I was like, what did I do? I just bumped into your statue. Yeah. I walk over a little pad and a fairy pops out. And I'm like, who's this fairy? Why is she here? What's she doing?
Yeah.
And they don't explain anything. There's no tutorial. There's no, maybe there was an instruction manual that told you why all this stuff was going on, but nope, you just go and save dragons and play the game.
And it looks really good, right? Like a huge improvement over that PlayStation 1, obviously. But yeah, like that's interesting you say that. It's definitely a throwback to an earlier time where we were less interested in narrative and reasons why you were doing what you were doing. It was just sort of implied that, hey, I'm a dragon, I blow fire, all right, let's go. And that was it.
Yeah, it's like, do you want to collect gems? Yeah, why am I collecting them? I don't know, collect gems.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I guess I will. I don't know, I suppose that's what I do.
I want to go back to
that. Spyro,
I like that game. All right, and RimWorld, you've only played the tutorial. Boy, have I ever hovered a mouse over a game more often in my life than RimWorld. There are times where it's
sounds
like
sounds so good. Looks I know. So shitty.
That's what it is, Bo. That's what it is. Because when I hear about it and I think about what the gameplay implies and everybody's reviews of it and the way they describe it, I'm like, this sounds amazing. And then I look at it and go, this looks like shit. Like shit.
And it doesn't help that Steam says it's overwhelmingly positive. Because you're like, what's wrong with me? Like, yeah. It's clearly me. Everyone, you all like it. I'm looking at it and I'm like, I can't justify money on this.
It really bums me out because I'm all about gameplay first. I'm more interested in that than graphics normally, but I have a limit. And this thing just looks bad, like bad, bad, like college student class project bad at a bad college with bad students. Like, it just looks terrible and it makes me not.
In the bad lands.
Yeah. But the concepts and what the game's supposed to be sound amazing. And if you could just reskin it, please, then I'd play it. So, John, what did you think of RimWorld since you played it?
It's daunting. I think this game might be super cool. I think it might be something amazing. I might have to play through the tutorial several times. This game reminds me of Banished.
Hmm.
I knew Bo might have a reaction.
Excuse me, I gotta go for a second. I'll be right back.
Bo loves
Banished. It reminds me of Banished a little bit.
Yeah.
In the sort of like indirect way that you hover over everything and you're not really direct controlling people. You're not really telling these people, like, okay, you go do this. Sometimes you might do that.
Yeah.
But in general, you're like, hey, I want you guys farming trees. I want you mining. And here's the order in which you will do tasks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very much you're building the civilization and you're watching it grow and you're watching the stories unfold while you're doing it. The only thing is the tutorial. I feel like they put 1,000 buttons in front of me. And they're like, we're going to teach you how to play. And they showed me how to use 10 of those 1,000 buttons and went, great, it's your turn. And I went, but what about all this other stuff you didn't even talk about?
Yeah.
So I might play through the tutorial a couple times or just accept that I'm going to be garbage at this game for a while. And it's going to take a lot of figuring out. But it seems like it could be really cool. I'm already fascinated just from like picking the survivors, because you basically, right before you land, you pick from a group of people who's going to be the three that start your society.
Mm-hmm.
and they all have traits. And sometimes those traits relate to other people. So like one of them was like this lady whose nickname was Loser. And okay. She was previously dating another one of the people, but now was married to someone else. So I didn't save her spouse, but I saved her ex. So they immediately had a dislike for one another and put them all in the escape pod with someone else who was like a priestess or something like that. And you just watch these weird little stories evolve, and they have their own kind of like quirks and personality. Like one of the little people in the society was a total night owl. Yeah. So like everybody else would have been in bed for hours and she was out there mining. And then she went in and went to bed, and then like the others woke up and started getting to work, and she slept in till like noon. And it's just like, that's just her quirk. You just kind of go, well, that's Lucy. And like she wandered off at one point and just fell asleep in some trees and just took a freaking nap in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, why is she doing that? Yeah. That's just who she is. And so and the one who was called Loser had like no discernible skills that I could see. It turns out the name might have actually been fitting. And like she doesn't want to do anything. You're like, go chop wood. And she's like, I don't do that. And you're like, well, do you want to mine? No, I don't do that. And I was like, well, what do you do? And I just see her out there playing horseshoes. And I was like, gosh, dang it. No wonder you've earned your nickname.
That's interesting. It's interesting that they have these behaviors and that they just go do them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe, so it's interesting. Maybe the game's inviting you to learn more about that character so that you can figure it out rather than be frustrated by it.
Maybe.
Yeah. And that's the thing is they paint the whole thing as like, it's telling you a story, and these people are going to live their lives, and there's going to be a narrative to it. In fact, one of the things that it looked like, and I might have interpreted it wrong, but it was right at the very end as I was leaving the tutorial and I had to get ready for the show, but you can pick your storyteller, and depending on which storyteller you pick, it adjusts the way the game is more likely to behave. So you might pick a storyteller who is a hopeless romantic, which means romance is going to be a bigger factor when you play the game than it would otherwise. Or you might pick someone who's more into action and you're going to be doing a lot more combat. That's the way I interpreted it. I could be wrong. This game seems incredibly
complex. Oh my God. That's so much. So they're introducing a narrator bias, essentially.
Kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Two different authors could tell the same story completely differently.
Yeah.
Right.
And this game has that.
This would crawl right up Bo's bum, this game.
It's in there. The only reason why I won't go in is my bum goes, it looks ugly.
Yeah, it's so ugly.
it is an ugly, ugly game. Yeah. But
those little people, like the little meeple-looking people with the stupid bodies and heads, it just makes me wish they were...
It's the same reason I can't play Prison Architect. Like, Prison
Architect,
my brother loves it. He plays it so much. And I am like, a sim jail?
Yeah.
It's kind of morbid, but that's why we're into it. That's what's appealing. People hung in their prison cells. You know, you bad prison manager. There's a morbidity that's super cool. But the game looks like shit. Yeah. Can't do it.
Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah. I kind of the same problem. So somebody may say to me, Scott, you've been playing Factorio. How come you're okay with that? Because I think Factorio looks cool. Like, yeah. Factorio has a style to it that I dig. It's it's meant to look low res and whatever, but it works for me. I wish this looked like Factorio, and then I'd be into it, I think.
Maybe someone's working on a mod?
I think once you start playing it, it goes away. You know what I mean? Like, the systems take over, and you're now worried about, you're in it, but you're right. It's a big step to get there, because it's not a great-looking game. But it seems really cool. I will report back as I play more. I bought a couple games off the Steam sale, so I'm going to be experimenting with a lot. I also picked up Streets of Rogue.
Oh, I love Streets of Rogue. I have that. That game's great.
Frostpunk.
Yeah, you need to, when you play Streets of Rogue, let me know, because it's like, oh, what is it even like? There's that kind of a GTA vibe to it, but it's, that's a great game. We'll have to talk more about that later. That's a good game.
All right. So,
and you got Frostpunk. You ended up getting it.
Yeah, I got Frostpunk.
All right. Get ready to have the hard. I found that game oppressively hard, Banished style hard. So again, another one Bo would like, Bo would love Frostpunk. I struggled with it because
I've been interested in it. It's just never, I haven't seen it on Super Sale. So.
You would love it, dude.
All you need to do is see Bo's playtime on Banished to know that if you conjure its name, he will be keenly interested.
I think I've played more hours of Banished than there are megabytes makeup install.
Probably. That's probably true. I remember, in fact, I think I had just met you and you were playing a lot of Banished then. It was Banished and Heroes. And I remember thinking, man, I should play Banished more, and then I would try to play Banished, and Banished is just so oppressive. It's so like wants me to lose. You're gonna love that pen or that I forget who makes it, but that new game that's on Epic only right now, but it's the Aftermath one. Kind of another post-apocalyptic sort of the war's over, now we gotta rebuild ourselves. It's very much like that. You're gonna really like that game. Hmm. Paradox, that's who makes it. Bo, you played some Divinity 2 with friends this week, I take it. How'd that go?
Yeah, we're in Act 2, and we haven't left Driftwood instead of playing a whole bunch of sessions. Mm. So Driftwood is the town you get to at the start of Act 2, for those who don't know. And we've just been in town. We had to do a fight over like 8 times. So, Scott, we've parked your character at the boat.
Oh, he's at the boat?
Because, like, I've been, you know, you're able to play. I mean, it's really random when we start, so.
Yeah, it's been hard. It's been hard to sync it up. Yeah.
So, but, you know, it just feels like when you play the game for players, you don't want to play other characters. It's like you. It's more MMO style, you know? Like, your guy basically has just leftovers from all the other characters and a whole bunch of body parts in their inventory. Like, just. Because whenever you get to playing again, you can eat them all and read their memories, as elves do. So I just keep giving you body parts that I find. I just have a massive amount of body parts.
Great.
And I just leave you on the boat. You know, you can just chill on the boat. Yeah. So it's been three-playering Divinity while you have been able to be there.
While I've been sitting in the
boat. We haven't gotten very far. It takes us so long to do anything.
Did you guys find the shark?
No, but we found the genie and Crofton. Crofton, like, I was like, oh, there's a genie bottle. I think I remember this. And then before I know it, Crofton's immediately there talking to him. And he gets the wish. And Mike was super, he's like, we're supposed to talk about these things before we do it. Like, I accidentally clicked it. Like, he loots everything.
I
don't blame you for not playing with us, because, like, let's get to the point where we're like on our 20th session and Crofton is still ripping everyone off.
This is how Crofton says it. Crofton goes, guys. So I'm right now over here, and I'm talking to a genie right now. There's a genie that I'm talking. That's how he would do it.
Uh-huh. Yep, exactly. And then we'd all be like, you started the conversation. Now he's going to give you and he got it. And he wished for something stupid like gold. So he just got some gold and he didn't get anything good, which is just.
Who was it, Crofton, who kissed the spider?
No, apparently everyone can kiss the spider. So
really,
see, so I talked to her first and then she invited me to go kiss, and I was like, oh, you guys can't come, I'm gonna go kiss this lovely lady in a dark alley. And then I got the kiss and I got the talent, and then she walked back, and then we went about our business, and then Crofton's like, I can't remember what he was doing, she's like, just wait, I'm talking to an NPC over here. And I'm like, are you talking to the woman? Like, yeah. She just gave me the kiss. I'm like, you, like, if he knew that he could get it too, but he didn't say anything to Mike, and he just let me get it, and he just went off on his own to go get the kiss. And anyways,
that's hilarious.
That's how he is.
Yeah, that's Crofton. That's Crofton. That's our new sitcom coming out soon. That's Crofton.
So yeah, Divinity's fun. It's definitely so much more fun with friends, and I'm looking forward to Baldur's Gate 3 so much.
Man, yeah, that game can't come soon enough. It's not this year though, right? 2021. Than they say.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think they might be doing an alpha or something like that, but yeah. I think we're still a ways off.
I feel like so many games are being pushed out this year, surprisingly, number of games keep getting announced, like surprise announcements, and it's coming out this year kind of stuff. It's kind of blowing my mind, like a bunch of things like that this year. It's weird. But yeah, probably not till next year for that one. All right. Quickly, one of these.
That's a good question.
An email from a listener. This is, we're going to play the mashup first. This mashup's from Jamie. It's called The Penis Chair, and I've been meaning to play this, so now we're going to play it. Here it is.
Benjamin in the chat is really missing the penis chair.
Right away. Right to the penis.
You don't have the penis chair at all anymore? Oh, no.
I forgot to tell them that it is now a famous chair known as the penis chair. I don't know if I'm ready to ruin that for my mom and dad.
No, you should tell them that. There's something called penis. Oh, it's peninsular.
It's like peninsula.
What did you think it was?
Peninsular Malaysia, for example. It's Malaysia's peninsula. And so I saw the word peninsular and went, ooh, penis, what? Penislar. Like I was trying to do it phonetically. It's not, it's wrong.
I owned that chair for a while. I'm worried about what they're going to think I mean by that.
Oh, right. I didn't think of that. Don't call it the penis chair.
Well, it's a penis chair, not an ejaculate chair.
Well, we don't mean that. We mean like, what if there's an attachment, if you know what I'm saying, to that chair? What if that's going on?
I mean, they didn't see it, right?
They'd feel it if they sat down on it. All right. Should we burp and then do a show or just do a show? What do you guys...
I'm not really feeling the burp, but...
I'm not either.
We could do a show.
Why don't we do nothing but burps?
Oh.
Do it in burp language?
I'm bad at burping on
camera. Oh, no.
We're like Deep Rock Galactic burp.
There we go. Bo's pretty good at it.
Oh, my Lord.
No, I just do little. It's just little bursts.
Ew, oh. Something's gonna come up, man. Something's gonna come up.
Look, very few things in this world that if you were over at a friend's house and you went to reach to grab something and they said, "Oh, that's the penis, whatever," you would continue and go, "Oh, great, that sounds fantastic."
Yeah, let me get a piece of that penis chair that you got there.
Like you go to serve up and they're like, "No, that's the penis rice."
Yeah, that's the penis.
Like, parents won't be that shocked.
You're done. You're not gonna eat that rice.
You don't think they'll care? You don't think they'll care?
I mean, the thing is, it's like every dirty thing you did in that house, your parent knows about.
Yeah, they know about your penis chair. Maybe they already know it's called the penis chair.
No, that's true.
Maybe they think it's called the three-wheeled phallus or something like that.
Three-wheeled phallus?
All those hidden socks in your closet after you moved out, they found them.
Right.
Who hides the sock? I just got rid of them.
I don't know. I'm just making jokes. So. You got rid of them.
Wait,
you
mail them? Too much information.
Put them in the mailbox and write Argentina on the song.
With a note that says, do what you will.
Oh my gosh, dude. I don't remember any of that.
Picturing a dirty ejaculate sock put into a Canada Post mailbox.
Yeah.
With Argentina written on the side.
That sounds horrific. I don't like that idea at all.
Anywhere in Argentina, please.
I kind of just want to put a sock, not with anything actually in it, but I kind of want to put a sock that says Argentina on it in a mailbox and see what Hostman does when finally picks it up.
I just want I want you to go get your mail in nothing but a sock and show up. Well,
no one wants to see that.
Chili Peppers might have a... They may want a word. All right. Anyway, sorry. Okay. Email or no, Jamie, that was great. Not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. That was fantastic. Please make more of those. We love him. And he's great. You can follow him on Twitter at TMS Mashups. Okay. Quick email here from our friend Jesus Chrome, or in Jesus Chrome, Jared. Jesus Chrome didn't write us.
I was like, oh shit. He's going to be bad about TWB.
He's like, hey guys, heard some stuff.
Yeah. His name in chat when he comes in is Spartacus 903, and he says this: "Hey Scotty and Too Hottie." That's pretty good. He's talking about you guys. He says, "Okay, I'm never going to say that again. Anyway, we recently got a Switch in this household, and while I don't think it's my to be in my wheelhouse, I'm trying to find a game for my wife to play. She hasn't really been a gamer other than a little Mario Kart and Mario Party. When me and the kids are playing Xbox, she's left out. So I was considering getting her Animal Crossing for the Switch. I guess my question is, before I spend $60 on a game, if you would recommend it for a gaming noob, or is it going to be too much of a learning curve? Your friend in Jesus Chrome, Jared, a.k.a. Spartacus 903. I'm going to recommend Animal Crossing New Horizon for your wife, because I don't think it's too much of a learning curve. It tells you everything you need to do as you do it. And even when you know how to do it, it'll still remind you how to do it. And it's just a good, chill game. I know lots of people who are not gamers, per se, by our definition, who easily slip into playing Animal Crossing and find it to be a delightful experience. So I think of all your choices right now for the Switch and for her, I think it's a good one. John, you have that game. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I would throw out one more. My girlfriend is not a huge gamer. She's not averse to them, but she does get motion sick, so anything that is first person nature or anything like that, she's not going to do well. And she also doesn't like gore, so limits what she can play a lot. And I you know, was looking for games that she might enjoy. She has been enjoying the hell out of Civilization VI. She was addicted to that for a good long while. And then, ironically enough, we've talked about it a lot this episode, I got her banished, and she has been obsessed with that as well.
Oh, someone with good taste. Yeah, excellent.
Well done. Good.
Yeah. Excellent. That's a keeper.
Yeah.
So she, stay with you. She loves that game. So mm-hmm. both those were big hits for her. She is very interested in Animal Crossing, but I won't let her on my island. So my island is for me, is what I told her. So she gets it for the kids. She can be on their island.
Yeah, this is not for you. Yeah. So sure, don't that's come here.
Stance you want to take? It's going to cause long-term problems.
She can visit my island.
It'll be 8 years later. You'll be at a dinner and be like, you know, John doesn't let me on his Animal Crossing island.
Yeah.
I'm still mad at him for that.
Not a keeper. Won't let me on his Animal Crossing island.
There you go. No, she does sound like a keeper for the what was the game called again? Banished.
Banished.
Keeper for that. Because we're all going to need people who are good at controlling and managing post-apocalyptic games, I think, when things come up. So when you get, as we get better at these post-apocalyptic games, if the virus has its way with us, we may have to be the lone survivors. And banished players will benefit from their experience. All right. Okay.
Oh, here's one she'll agree, you'll agree with, Scott. She also got Farm Together.
Oh, I love Farm Together.
Every time she plays it, I think of you. I'm like, yeah. You, Scott, would be really excited you're playing.
Yeah, that game's a great little brainless go grow shit and pick it and sell it game. I like it.
I got one recommendation, but it's just from personal experience.
Okay.
But Peggle also seems to be a hit.
Oh, yeah, Peggle's great. You know what? There's a new Peggle clone that's very good, by the way.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, a fantasy-based one, and I'm going to get you the name.
Oh, because I actually kind of Peggle. Peggle's kind of all right, you know?
Played Peggle not too long ago. I loaded it up.
Peggle's great. Nothing wrong with Peggle. I'm trying to find this game that's... Oh, what's it called? Chat room, do you guys have the name? Someone knows this. It's on mobile, but it's also on Steam. Steam version's very good, and I own it, and I can't remember the damn name. But it's like a... It's a fantasy version of Peggle.
Round Guard?
Round Guard, that's it. And you can, like, if you choose the warrior, you launch your warrior's, like, tucked into a little ball.
Oh.
And you launch him, and, like, he kills other creatures. He collects gold. Because
wait a second.
It's very good. Round Guard is good. Like, straight up a good video game. It's not the kind of thing I bring up on the show. It's more of a boop thing. But that's a rad little game.
Oh, man, look at that. They got a freaking beholder in this game.
Yeah. That game is basically, I mean, I mean this.
It looks like
positively. Peggle. It is a Peggle ripoff. In every way, but in a good way. And they lean into this fantasy trope. It's very good. I like it a lot.
It's a 2020 game. It came out a few months ago. So
yeah, it's new.
We're on the edge of this.
Yeah, it's new-ish. Oh,
I'm wishlisted for sure.
Yeah, it's a cool game. I recommend it. If you have Apple Arcade, it's free on there. If you have Steam, it's on there. I think it might be on consoles as well.
Oh, my God, this is adorable. Your little character, like, flies around and hits things with
swords. He's tucked into a little ball. Like, he gets into a little ball, and they have special abilities. He can crash through multiple levels if you use his ability. If you use the wizard, he can do all kinds of, like, crazy wizard abilities.
Stuff like this is why I'm, like, pro-drugs for creative people.
That's right.
You know, somebody was playing Peggle and was really stoned and went, holy crap, what if I put my D&D game into a Peggle game?
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if it's fun yet or not, but it certainly looks super enticing. I'm really excited about this game.
I want this very badly right now, so.
Hey, you know what? Sorry, I just noticed Wicked Kitten in the chat says, where is Tunic for PC, Gurr? What happened to Tunic?
What's Tunic?
It's not on anything yet, and I saw this years ago at a game conference. It's this rad-looking little Zelda-like thing. Was originally touted for Xbox One, but it was coming to Steam. It's on. You can wishlist it on Steam. Planned date to be announced. Did this just not end up happening?
Oh, looks pretty good.
I was so into this. This looked so cool, and they showed it at this Salt Lake conference I went to, and I got to play a little bit of the beta or the demo. But they haven't talked about this since. Oh my gosh, Monica, it's been like 3.5-4 years or something. Where is Tunic?
So it's on Steam, and there's a link to the website. So maybe there's some news.
Well, it's on Steam, but
you can link to the Tunic website.
Right. And all of them says coming soon or whatever, or to be TBA. But it's such a cool look. Oh, I hope they make that game. I was really excited about it at the time, but something must have happened.
Yeah, Tunic announcement, EA 2018.
Yeah, was it 2018? I thought it was earlier.
E3 2018, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, June 10th, 2018. So it'll be a year. It is a year. We're 2020.
Yeah, it's 2 years then.
2 years.
Yeah,
2 years.
That's too long. 2 years too long.
Oh, it's too long, but it's not so old that it's impossible that, you know.
Yeah. Man, put it out. I want to play it.
Oh, no, there was an announcement at 2017 as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's how it sounds right to me, that it was older than that. I know where I played it. I played it in Columbus, Ohio in 2018, and it was announced the year before that. And then nothing. I was on a panel with one of the people who were running the company that was making it. What happened? Fingy. Yeah, Fingy.
Their Twitter account posted something. June 25th is the last tweet from them.
What'd they say?
Oh, send them.
They posted a little picture, a little video.
Well, I'm looking at the Fingy homepage. That's the girl I sat next to, the girl in the short hair. She was part of that panel. It was a panel about being a parent and working in video games at home. And I guess they counted me because I do whatever I do. But
they're a small company, right?
Oh, yeah. It's just a husband and a wife team, I think. But, man, that game looked like it had some serious promise. I think there's maybe more. They may have more people working for them. I don't know. Now I'm annoyed. I don't know why I'm annoyed. I stand.
Well, they have a lot of games.
Well, Night in the Woods, they helped make. Feist, I remember that. Tunic is what I want, though. Could we please get that done? All right. That's it for the show. Thank you all for joining us. Oh, man. A reminder about that Current Geek thing I mentioned earlier. Current Geek Chronicles. You're going to want to get into this thing early because there's some rad levels to be a part of. And it's going to be really cool curated audio content. Think like Radiolab or This American Life or like a really produced, edited, written show. That's what you're getting with that thing. Support.currentgeek.com. If you want to support this show, you can. Patreon.com/core show. And, of course, we're at frogpants.com/core. You can send us messages there. And we'd love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter, CorePod, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. Hey, John, give us a little advice before we leave. What do you got there for us? Anything good?
I say support your current geek thing because you might hear me on it.
You definitely will hear you on it because I know. And it's a secret as to why, but yes, it's going to be rad. What John contributed to might be my favorite thing we're working on for that season. Very cool. Bo, words of wisdom?
You know, if you feel like something's off and you need help, go talk to someone.
Yeah, I like it. That's good advice. Great advice, actually. What do I have? I have no advice. Oh, my advice is when your wife leaves town, try not to throw your back out because there's no one here to help you. So there's my advice there. She'll be home tonight, though. In fact, she might be home now. I'll find out shortly. Thank you all for watching. Thank you for being here live and also on hard drive. We will see you next week for another edition of Core. See you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Captain, we're under attack!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.